You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Episode number 11. I am your co-host, Mr. J Reason, and I am here with the one and the only Lordy Zach.
What's up, everyone? Danny Zabo in the school of effect. Lordy Zach, call me what you want to call me, Danny Singer.
Dan, also known on Cameo across the board, right, E?
Yes.
Let's talk. Well, I mean, how have you been this week since our last episode? People were really... The last episode, I just want to say... was really great. We had Scott Vogel and Dante Ross on. Everybody.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you to both of them. Dude, I don't know about you, E, but I got a ton of positive reaction from Vogel's interview and Dante, so I just want to thank them and thank everybody who keeps listening to the show and supporting us. It is fucking awesome. Zach and I are very excited. So, E, since last time, though, this is kind of cool. We just launched your Cameo, and,
yes,
dude, since then, you're like... It's killing it, like, right?
It's so insane. I've been 2 weeks and fucking every day, except for one day, like, but every 24 hours, I have at least 2-3 cameos. And it's so cool to even be recognized by people, you know, that peers and everything. That I've, like, this is for celebrities. Like, what the fuck? This is for celebrities. And I don't even have my own bank account.
Right.
I'm like, that's how crazy the world is. But I'm so happy, and I know that the people for Cameo, Brendan.
Yep, that's our boy. Shout out.
Thank you so much, bro. Like, this is something that I, Jay, thank you so much for getting this for me. I'm like, this is so cool. People are saying some crazy stuff.
Well, yo,
it's been really nice. It's not like it's not like people say some horrible stuff or everything. They may
no,
say
it's
all,
it's like, it's funny,
it's
too.
Funny stuff. And
yeah,
I love it, man.
I go in and kind of check in on them because you can watch
them. Oh, you heard the Cleveland one, right?
Dude, I was cracking up at that one. And
yeah, it's cool.
They're just all funny.
That's
so,
really
like,
cool.
If anybody hasn't caught Ezak yet on Cameo, again, you're going to probably see it on your screen here. But you're going to want to go ahead and check that out. It's hilarious. Definitely worth it if you need your band plugged or anything. Ezak's doing all that
shit.
Yeah,
your band plugged or like a mixtape or something like that.
Yo, that's a dope hat. Where did you... That's a new hat? Is that a new hat?
Oh, shit.
Let me see that one.
Oh.
That's sick.
Green.
I never saw... That's a new one.
The New York Hardcore Streetwear camo and green hat. You can get it at Generation Records in New York City.
That's sick. Shout out, Mark.
Or go online. Mark. I love you, Mark. All the guys out there, all Generation.
Yeah,
records,
everybody at Generation is cool as fuck.
Nice guys. Oh, check this out, bud. Check this out. Get this online at www.generationrecords.bigcartel.com.
And you'll see that on your screen too. Yeah, that hat's dope, man. We're gonna Yeah, I like that colorway. Yeah.
Dope.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just noticed that you were wearing it. It was pretty good.
Thank you so much. It's mad fly. All my stuff is fly.
Sad note though, too, right? Since we last recorded. Go ahead.
Riley.
Yep. Rest in peace. Probably you guys, everybody who listens to our show probably already knows that by now, but if you hadn't, the unfortunate passing of Riley was super sad, man. I mean, I didn't know him personally, but had a lot of friends who interacted with him, man, and watching their grieving was really hard, so I can only imagine how rough it must be for somebody who knew him. The guy seems like he affected everybody on a very positive level. So, shout out. I mean, that's a fucking horrible
Riley,
band.
Rest
great
in
band.
Peace.
Yeah, rest in power.
Too young. Life is crazy. The dude was, every time I saw the dude, he was full of life and cool guy, respectful. And we always like, hey, I'm like, and always, and people on Twitter all the time, we used to speak all the time, talking mad shit together.
Well, you guys will go down in history with him and you as fighting with Trapped.
You know, so funny, I totally even forgot about that. I used to talk to him all the time about Scarhead and Power Trip to go on a tour. He's like, yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
He loved Scarhead. And I was like, Power Trip is hard, man. Like,
Power Trip is fucking great. I feel like they were going to be the next, like,
big
Pantera, you know, to, like,
yeah,
they were like, they were on their way, man.
Like them and Municipal Waste did it the right way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that, I, yeah, I tell you right now, it's just sad when someone from our scene.
Yeah. Especially somebody who's a good person and you see that they affected somebody, you know, that you see that they affected people on every level positive, you know, whereas like some of our friends, I won't name, it's like some people are very sad about it and other people are like, oh, thank God that person's gone. You know what I mean? Like,
it's it's always the good people that the guys who are doing good in life. His band, his music reached thousands, maybe millions.
No, they were fucking huge, man. So,
and they sold records and they played and they crossed over from metal, hardcore, punk.
And they always kept it real. I didn't know him personally, but again, seeing the interaction he had with people I'm friends with, I felt it for everybody, man. So you know, just want to give a quick section of the show.
Yeah.
To acknowledge that and say that. E, what else you been working on this week, man? What else is cracking? Before we got a really good show today, but what have you been working on? Listening, anything?
Last time I went out to Milwaukee and I finished the Street CD Volume Number 3.
Sick. Do we know when that's coming out yet or no?
Probably in 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah, two months, and TJ Kaz was a host, but I did a video which came out. The video is called Cyclone.
I saw that video is great.
Yeah, Cyclone featuring DJ Kaz on the hook and featuring my beautiful wifey Storm.
Shout out Storm, the best. Storm has also been helping you and I out with your cameo. So I just want a big shout out to Storm for helping me.
And this video is so dope. The DRP directed it. Storm looks amazing in it. So that's what she's. I wish I had. You know how I used to watch the Nuclear Assault video with Jessica, whatever name was, lady in it. That's how the little kid, 13-year-olds gonna look at my girlfriend. Like,
that's great.
You see, like how weird that is. Like how weird. That, like when we're little and we watch all these videos with like a hot girl in it. Like,
that's
that's
her.
That's her. She's a hot girl in the videos.
I love it, man. That's awesome. What else you been working on?
I've been working. That's it. Scarhead signed with
Records. Yeah, we mentioned that on the last show, so that's really exciting. And
I would say something that see this.
Oh yeah, what is that?
That's called a book, Jameson. You open it up and you read it.
Wow,
so check it out.
I haven't seen one of those in years.
So this book right here was given to me by a friend of mine that grew up with. In Queens. It's called Heal Profoundly.
Nice.
Heal Profoundly, a graffiti thug's transformation to holistic doctor. My, one of my friends I grew up with, he's writing graffiti with my boy Greed, KAC, one of the best graffiti writers to come out of Queens, probably in the world. You mean what I'm saying? Just saying that when I went to West Coast and he came out and visited me and I introduced him to Revoke. And he's with Risky, and Revoke went, oh, my God, you're Greed? And Risky's like, what's up? He goes, it wasn't for this guy's style. I would never have been, I took my style from him. And I was like, and Risky was so mad that, he got his style from a New Yorker. I was like, see? From Queens, nigga. So look, it says, by doctor, he's a doctor.
That's crazy.
By Dr. Robert Cyprian. So this book he wrote to me. To Lord Eza, a.k.a. Danny Diablo, Greed. Look at
Yeah. Shout out. Where can, is that available? Like, what's got a website for that? We'll have to plug that for sure.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll put it up. But
when you're watching this, you'll see, I'll have a link for you guys to check the book out for sure.
He went to school and everything. He's a doctor in holistic medicine and a chiropractor.
That's sick.
Greed 1, KAC, thank you for the book. I can't wait fucking read this thing, and that I'm so happy that this part, someone from Queens is putting out a book that's very positive. You know, change your life around, and he did. And look, that's how what hard work does. You know, he became a doctor.
That's sick, awesome, man. Yeah, I'll have to get a cop. I'll have to borrow that one when you're done with it. So I've had a crazy busy week. I'm gonna share here on the show two new things on. For people who don't know, I do a couple different labels. One of them is called War God, which is, you know, basically focused on reissue, but I also do a newer label I started last year called Static Era Records. You've heard me plug it here. So we just finished a session for Cruel Hand, who you guys, everybody knows, with Zeus. It was awesome. Shit is heavy. We did three songs. I mean, yo, fans of Cruel Hand are going to be fucking excited. Zeus kept them heavy as fuck, so I got to hang out with those guys. This shit is awesome.
How's Zeus doing?
He's great, man. Zeus is awesome. He's the man.
Shout out to Zeus.
He said to say what's up. We were having a good time. It was me, him, Wayne from Hatebreed, and the Cruel Hand
guys.
Shout
out to Wayne.
That's
my boy.
Just out.
Ice pick Wayne.
Yeah, out every night this weekend, man. I don't think I've gone out that much. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm going out in the pandemic, but everybody was socially distanced, masked the whole night. But, you know, I went out every night.
Right.
and we were having a good time. And then I also want to share here on the show, I just announced it today, but I signed a band from Texas called Teardrop. It's ex-members of Bitter End. This shit is heavy all as right. fuck. So we just premiered their new single today, Forever Scarred, on metalinjection.com. So if you're fans of like super heavy hardcore, you're going to want to check that out. We got the EP. It's a 3-song EP I'm releasing, and that's going to be out on the 25th of this month. So I'm going to have all the information there. So I just want to plug a couple things there before we jump into the show. Yo, so E, we got a really good show for you today.
Great.
We got a great show for the fans today. So I'm going to bring our first guest on.
Yeah.
It's going to be my boy. I think you know him too. My boy Aram, who used to play guitar in Champion. He played in Betrayed. He plays in a new band called Change. He's also a life coach, kind of. He's got a lot of shit going on with his cadence leadership. So I'm going to grab him on. So hang on 1 second while I...
You're my life coach.
Dude, you're my life coach. All right, guys, and we're back. Corona Chronicles number 11. I'm really, really excited to have our first guest of the night. It's one of my oldest friends in the scene. We met on Bridge 9 days. You guys will probably remember him from his bands Champion, Betrayed. He ran a label called React. He has a new band called Change, which we're going to talk about. He does a lot of cool shit. Everybody, please welcome my boy Aram Arslanian. Did I say that right or did I butcher it? Arslanian. Did I get it right?
That was perfect. Okay, that was perfect. Exactly it.
I was going to say Aram from Champion, but that's not really the case. Aram from Betrayed or Aram from Change is not the same. So Aram, thank you so much for joining us, dude. I'm very excited to have you on with me and Ezak. We've been talking about getting you on for a minute, so this worked out really well.
Okay. Can I ask a question to start?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be good already.
Ezak.
Yeah, what's up?
Ezak, we've never met before, but I am so psyched that we get to hang out, man. Okay.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Are you ready?
Thank you.
I've been thinking about questions for you all day. So, first question is just pure curiosity.
All right.
Why only the one record on EVR? Why did you go to another planet for the full length?
Oh, interesting.
This is crazy. Check this out. Speaking about Crown of Thorns, Train Yard Blues, basically, was a demo for Blackout Records. So, and all of a sudden... EVR, Franklin was Krishna, and he was good friends with Steve Reddy, and was always in at the temple. He was like, he showed Steve, and he's like, no, we'll take it. So he bought the demo, he paid money back to Blackout, and we went to EVR. Then,
so why the only record on that one?
Because Franklin was dealing with Shelter, and I guess some like some business stuff. Then all of a sudden, we went to another planet because Fred Feldman was cool. Feldman was cool with me. You know what I mean? So it was more Steve Ray's cool, but I like doing like Fred Feldman's like, well, more money to record and all that stuff like that. And back then I didn't know anything about the music business. and the reason why we got Fred Feldman is because one of my friends worked in the mailroom for Profile. So one day Fred Feldman was like, yo, there's this band called Crown of Thorns, and they're big. And my boy's like, yo, that's my fucking boy. He's like, no, it isn't. He goes, tell him. So he called my mom's house, and I pick up the phone. He goes, yo, your Profile wants to come meet me. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I didn't believe it. My boy works in the mailroom. You know what I mean? And then I was like, my boy Nick Packanine. He lives in Florida. Shout out to Nick Packanine. So I went there, and Fred Feldman and I became friends. And now Fred Feldman's son and his friends have a label. It's crazy. It's like it's so crazy. The life is crazy, right. But yeah.
When you switched, was EVR bummed or were they supportive, or did they not care?
Later on in life, I did all my merch for EVR. Mm. So I'm always, Steve Reddy has always been my boy. We respect each other and we've always been cool. So like, it's like, I always looked at him, like everyone looked at Steve Reddy, like a nice, quiet, simple, nice guy. I know the real Steve Reddy. So I love you, Steve Reddy. But that's all I'm saying. Like Steve Reddy is a hardcore guy. So Steve Reddy's, I always got mad love. Well,
yeah, Steve EVR is cool as fuck. Yep.
Okay. Steve Reddy is awesome. Okay. Yeah. For my next question.
Yeah.
Do you feel, in like all honesty, do you feel Crown of Thorns got its due?
Ooh. Ooh. That's an interesting question.
Oh my gosh, this is so crazy. This is so crazy because people. All right, check this out. As a musician, I can't say, as a person, personal-wise, no, we were off a whole year because Mike DeJohn left us, and it was, shall we even sound like a dick now to Mike DeJohn? So, but personally, how it felt, when he left, a whole year, we didn't really do shit. Then we went out, and I was like, yo, we're touring, bro, and I put the band back there, then we toured, like, for two, three years straight, so just crowned for 2 years, like, boom, boom, boom. I thought that people, didn't give us a chance because who I personally was affiliated with, so they thought we sound like a I can't say any words anymore. I can't say like you know the Neanderthals are fucking hardcore. So beat down music. So people thought that my music was gonna be exactly like Madball Bulldoze. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
And so basically we sounded more like. Like Rush, you know what I mean? Like it was like more soul, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, no, we never got out to. I thought that if we would have got a record with a real producer and a real budget and put something out now, it would be beyond fantastic. And I thought that a lot of people always put us like we're a band, but people always put us behind other bands because I don't know. It's like, I thought that we're before our time, you know?
Okay, Crown of Thorns, from my opinion, and Jay, I'm real interested in your opinion. They like Mentally Vexed is a perfect record. That's
I love Mentally. Yeah, it's a good record.
Sick.
Thank you.
Band that people like to talk about liking.
Yes.
But how many people are like bringing Crown of Thorns out to a show or going to a Crown of Thorns show? Right?
No. I played a few years ago with Siv in Manhattan. And it was the worst show. I looked at Sam. I was like, "What the fuck you doing to us, bro?" You know, we grew up together. I was like, "He was like, we went on like 6:30." I was like, "Are you fucking serious?" You know, it was like us. And like I forgot who else it was, but it was so whack. But I couldn't stop laughing. I had to go straight from work. My work clothes. That's how whack it was. You know? I was like, "If the world has to know how whack I am, I work a regular fucking construction job." And now you mean. Know, it was like a Toby Morse show. The lights were on. I was like, yo, turn the fucking lights off. But the thing is, people, they always do that. It's like when we played at a peak, people were scared. It was more they were scared what's going to happen after the show. You know what I mean? So, but I understand. Now I understand, especially when you have kids and stuff. Like, I don't want my kid going to fucking to like Beirut. You know what I mean? Like, go watch, watch Disney or something. You know, yeah. Which is could be even crazier.
Mentally Vexed, though. Like, Train Yard Blues, Mentally Vexed. This is like classic records, but Mentally Vexed is like a kind of like a fully formed record, front to back. It looks cool. It sounds cool. The songs are cool. Everything's about it cool. All right, if you had to die in the pit.
Oh my god!
Crown of Thorns song, like you were moshed or got moshed so hard. Which song? Which Crown of Thorns song would you die in the pit to?
That's a good question.
Yo, it's probably a song. What's that song? The song, The song that I really, we don't play live, but it's something, when I, something about the, when I wrote the song, I don't even know the song's name. Love and Pain Goes Together Like a Needle and Thread, right? I'm just drifting like a shooting star. That song. Okay. I don't know what the name of the song, but you know, I'm saying that song, because at the end, I sing the part. You let go. Like that song. But I had to sing that part. It made me do it three times. I never even, like, before Crown Thoughts, I never sang for a band. I never sang. You mean? So it's like, but that song really, it, when I wrote that song, the lyrics really hit my heart. You know what I mean? Like a lot of messed up stuff was happening in my life at that time. That's why the music is like that. You know what I mean? So
when you sing high, it's cool because you sound real vulnerable, because like it's not a natural place for a voice to go. So it sounds sick.
It's very real. Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. That's crazy. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Man.
No, listen, this is why I was excited to get you guys together, because me and Danny go back fucking forever.
Oh,
and
can I say one thing?
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know who was supposed to, Walter from Quicksand was supposed to produce Mentally Vexed.
No way.
That was sick. Yo, and we had a big argument, me and Mike DeJohn. He was like, no, AJ Novello. I was like, which came out amazing. But imagine if Walter worked with me and my vocals and every harmonizing background vocals. Just think about
that,
the Quicksand.
That would have been crazy, man.
That's all I have to say.
All right.
So I'm, right, I'm Jason, really glad to get you guys together.
I got
to
ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
I got to ask you. So you and me are standing at the side of the pit together, and you look at me and you say, like, the song hits, and you're just like, Ram, it was nice knowing you. I'm about to go get moshed to death. And we just shake hands. Which song is it?
Juggernaut, I would have to think, probably.
For real? Did you get that?
There's a harder intro than that, man.
That's Mike DeJohn. That's all Mike DeJohn. The Juggernaut is like hard. And my life was so going, so the lyrics of the song is about the K Mark, about the Juggernaut, the comic. So I was like, such a hard tone, but since it's like from a little kid's point of view, think about it. I was like, all right, let me write about the Juggernaut. It's
sick,
really
though.
Weird.
But I think that's what makes it so hard, because it's like, it is so innocent, like, you know what I mean? Like the whole thing, and like even like Aram is saying, like leaving your vocals to get in a range that you're not, you know, leaves you more vulnerable and stuff. It's like, cool. I think that's what makes those records real, and why those records are special, you know? So I just, again, man, really excited that we got to get everybody on, and I'm glad that we got this interview started off.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was really good.
I got interviewed.
Yeah, I love that. So I did, I wanted to talk quickly before we get too much into the music thing with Aram has a new band, but I want to talk first, Aram, tell our listeners who aren't familiar with what you've done since music, with what you're doing now, specifically with your Cadence Leadership thing. I mean, as a friend of yours from the outside, watching you evolve from hardcore guy into this has been awesome. I can't compliment you enough. I know I've sent you a bunch of messages on how great it is to hear you talk about that, things, how many things I identify with what you say. Especially for somebody who, you know, like myself, works with clients up front, and I feel a lot of the ways you do with that anger inside of like, you know, I know everything, but then having to take the step back. And so it was really cool, man, again, to watching a friend of mine evolve to something like that, and hope that one day listening to your advice that I will hopefully get to that level. So for people who aren't familiar, and for Isaac, just give us a little bit, a little journey of where you were at with, you know, playing the guitar, the band's ending, and sort of your new spot.
Yeah, and thanks, man. Thanks for those words. So when I was playing in hardcore bands, I was kind of in a good spot because I'd already finished university. So like my main bands happened after I already had like a degree, and so I wasn't worried about like, oh my gosh, like if this doesn't work out, what's gonna happen? Because before my bands had even like gone off and like toured a lot, I'd already had like a career, like a proper career. So I was an addiction mental health therapist. And so I worked a lot with like street gangs. I worked with youth, street entrenched youth. And so I did that for a while. And then I went off and played in a bunch of bands. And then when I came back a few years later, I kept doing that. And I moved up. Like I started as youth addictions. And then I went into like clinical counseling. So something that was like a little bit more specific to the psychology of it. So I did that for about a decade. And it was cool. It was like awesome. Really, really, really good job. And at one point, I just got burnt out because, like, you know, people dying, like really there's no end to people struggling, right?
Yeah, people cycle keeps going, no matter what, it's crazy.
So I hit a point where I was getting like a little burnt out, and I tried my hand at what's called executive coaching. So you go in and you work with like CEOs of companies, and you train them on how to be a good leader, how to speak well. And I started working.
Are they worse than the gang members, or just, who's better?
For real, so, like some of them are like the greatest people, and some of them are like, on
crazy.
TV. What you'd think from TV, like
damn, I know some cutthroat, right? Just like cutthroat, both man. Sides.
It's wild. So I started doing that, and I worked for this company for about 5 years, but it was like horrible. It wasn't horrible, but the guy who owned the company had gotten it from his mom, and he was just this through and through rich kid, like super rich, and like just shitty, just a shitty person, shitty business guy. And I hit a point where I was like, you know what? I could do something way cooler than this. This is kind of bullshit. And we had a huge blowout, and like he fired me, like brutally fired me at like the worst time. And just to be fair, good on him. That was like the first time he had a spine about anything. So he fired me, and I had a total Jerry Maguire moment. He fired me. I got off the phone with him, shaved my head, took a shower, got on my phone, called all my clients, said, hey, I just got fired from my job. And they were like, cool, I'm just going to come work with you. And so I just like brought all of my clients over.
Oh, just smart.
That's
smart.
Awesome.
Smart.
It was good. And like they tried to sue me a bunch, and it was like kind of back and forth. But that's how I started the company. And essentially what we do is I'm a therapist that works in the business world. And I work with like senior level leaders and like CEOs and kind of C-suite and a little bit below that of like major companies that you'd hear. Yeah. And I help the leaders make decisions about what they're going to do, how they can lead. I help them like develop better culture. I help them develop better leadership. I guide them about having more like kind of human practices. And just to be clear, they don't have me in there because there's always a problem. Like a lot of times these are great people who are trying to do good things, but they need someone who can help them understand the psychology of what's going on around them so they can be in space. Yeah. And it's been really cool. So like our company mission is basically like, we just want to empower people while reducing suffering. Cause like, I think we can all relate to the idea of working with a boss that you hate. Like if you've ever had a boss who's an asshole, my job is to make sure that doesn't happen on some level and that you don't get degraded or treated badly or any kind of wild stuff. So I started a company. It was just me and my notebook and a cell phone and like tons of fear and anxiety. And 4 years later, I've got a team of 11 people all across North America. We work with like some pretty major companies, and it's great. It's been totally awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm super proud of you, man. As your friend, as somebody who's toured with you and watched it happen, it's really cool. And the other thing I'm really excited about is that you did in all this find time to start a new band with Chris, who you've played with, who's also a friend. Tell us a little bit about Change coming together. I've plugged you guys on an earlier episode. I loved the EP. I've played it for Ezak. It's cool, old school, hardcore. It's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the urge to create again and all of this stuff. Why do a band? Or why do music again, you know?
Like, there's times in my life where I'm the most unhappy, and those are the times when I'm not playing hardcore or playing music. And I'd say playing music, but I'm not a good musician, so I can't play anything else. I can only stick in. I love hardcore. I love creating, and it's like how I socialize with friends. It's how I hang out. Like, I don't know, I'm a nerd. Like, I love hardcore. Down and like knowing about it. Okay, you know that Earth Crisis scene that Busky
did?
Oh, I just
got it. It's great.
Yeah.
That level of like obsession with something, I love.
Yeah,
like I want to see where a barcode falls on a record and why. Like, and so like I love hardcore, love the culture of it, I love the characters in it. Like I just love everything about it. Not everything, but most of it.
Right.
So that's where it came from. And I just wanted to do something that was like a little bit more aggressive than I'd done and a little bit more, I don't know, pulled from different places. And so we did the Change record, and I'll say hands down, it's the best record I ever did. I'm real confident.
It's really awesome. So the new album comes out tomorrow. Tell everybody the title of that record and where they can buy it and a little bit of information about that record.
Yeah. So the record's called Closer Still. You can get it through React Records, and React's distributed by Death Wish. So you get it at Death Wish.
You guys will see that on your screen right now. We'll have a link over the screen for that.
And the record's called Closer Still because it's like had like a real bad incident in 2016 that had to do with Champion, and it was tough and it was really, really intense situation. And one of the things that I've probably never in my life ever felt like an urge to like run away from something. Like I've always been a dude that's like, I want to sit down and kind of deal with shit. And it's probably the only time in my life I ever was like, fuck, I just want to run away from this. I just want to hide my head in the sand.
Yeah, that's it. A lot of stuff happens. Like life could really like hit you. And all of a sudden it's just like sometimes you have to like run away for it, just to recoup everything, to get better, then face what you have to face. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's exactly it. Like I definitely kind of like had to duck out for a little bit and just like compose myself. But the record's called Closer Still because like it's one of the only times I ever like was like, holy shit, I just can't handle this.
Yeah.
And then I got my feet back underneath me, and instead of like running away from it, I just wanted to like really understand what happened. I wanted to be in that space. I wanted to hear the stories. I wanted to like do what I could. And the whole record is about just like, and it's something Jay, you said to me a while ago, it's like, hey man, don't be a passenger in your own tragedy, man. Don't be a passenger in that happens to you. Like, get behind the steering wheel and try and move it towards a positive destination. And I don't remember saying that to me, but I remember, was like,
well, I remember as a fan, and again as a friend, man, I always, and I've said this to both you and to Danny, and again, dude, just as somebody who's had things like that happen to me, that I feel like, and this goes for any situation, man, try to control your own narrative in any situation, because the longer you don't get in front of these things, the longer it can spiral out, and you can lose focus and lose control. And then to your point, you kind of start even getting away from who you are, and you remove yourself from those situations, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. So I just felt like real lost, and I just wanted to get back behind the steering wheel. So I did this record, and, you know, it's been a good thing for me largely. So yeah, I feel good about it.
It's awesome. Man. I'm really excited about the record. For those people who don't know, I am opening up a record shop here in Connecticut, and I did order copies of the record, so you'll be able to get it here. So Aram, before we let you go, what else is going on with you? It sucks that this COVID thing happened, because I feel like we probably would have gotten some kind of East Coast shows, and I would have gotten to hang out with you, right? At some point.
Oh yeah, totally. Man, I don't know. There's lots of stuff going on. Like, can I just ask Isaac
more questions? You can ask questions? Of course, man. Of course.
Okay.
All right.
So, Mentally Vaxxed comes out.
Yes, yes.
Were people into it?
Yeah. Well, you have to understand that label that we signed to Another Planet was a subsidiary of Profile, which is a big hip hop.
At the time, Profile was huge,
I'm talking about huge, and I used to go up there just to hang out with the people in Profile that I knew up there. And when I did the record, we did all the music at, in by Boston, Rhode Island, there was Tom, what's his name? I forgot the guy, Tom Soares. He did all New Kids on the Block and shit like that.
Oh, damn.
He recorded there all the metal bands, yo. And so he did all, it's so crazy. But, so what you fit with there, we didn't have music. We didn't write any music. Like, it was really weird. They told us deadline, and Mike DeJean back then, his life was so like white trash, Astoria Warrior. So he was like, this nigga. So basically, he was like in charge of everything, and everything, he was like, married, a kid, construction. He's this white trash warrior. Now he's civilized. But back then, he was a fucking Astoria gorilla. You know what I mean? So he was a caveman, that guy. So yeah, so he took care of everything. And I was like, whatever. I don't even know. I was talking about the other day. I didn't even know how to make shirts, but I got them made in my neighborhood. So we went there, recorded there. I didn't do my vocals there because Jimmy was playing there, and we didn't have the songs down. So Jimmy only did half the thing, so he got another guy to play the other half. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And how? So the other guy's there anywhere, so it was just weird how it all happened. Then I had to do my vocals with Noah from the Iceman in the city. So when I did my vocals, I was there by myself, no help from any of my friends, no one in the studio with me. Seriously, it was crazy. So imagine this AJ Novello. And you know, I'm like, and you know, you see someone all the time, like, Eddie's a guitar player, bro. I need someone to help me with my vocals. Noah's helping me. And you know, from Noah played bass for the Iceman. He was a great guy. You know? So I did my vocals, but the night before, I got into a bad fight. Like one of them, it was horrible. Like my, I didn't even go home to take a shower. I still had this jumpsuit, and I hit some guy in the head with a chair so hard it broke. And this guy was gonna stab my friend. He went to stab my boy, and when he stabbed my head with a chair, a stool, it broke his head, but it kept it going down, hit my leg. So I need stitches on my leg, but I didn't get stitches. So my whole leg was all fucked up and wrapped up, and I'm in the booth singing, like with some guys like AJ Novello, I know from Leeway, but he's not my boy back then. So he's telling me what to do. I'm like, and I'm a little like, yo, I'm a bigger than life character, but this guy just, yo, did my favorite fucking records, Desperate Measures and fucking Portraits Fire. You know what I mean? So he's telling me how to do stuff and really telling me like. Almost like yelling at me sometimes. He's like, imagine me back then, like, yeah, microphone, I give a fuck. He's like, no, he's like, I gotta do it like this. I'm like, who's this money? But I can't yell at him or punch him in the face because he's AJ Novello. He's helping me. But in my mind, I'm a street kid, you know what I mean? And it was just fucking nuts. But fucking, I'm off track. What was your question?
You answered the greatest question. You did. That was perfect. Okay, I got two more questions. Okay.
Shout out to AJ Novell.
What's something about you that's like misunderstood about you that actually bothers you? Like that you feel misunderstood about, but it actually bothers you.
It's like when something happens, I feel good. I feel like talking to a therapist right now. Thank you so much. I basically want to, when people think about me, they always, when I meet them, there's two things. I never started fighting in my life. Never started fighting in my life. I hate bullies. I hate people who are fucking like pick on bullies. I usually beat up the bully when I'm growing up. And so people think I'm like 6'5" steroid guy running around and like start fights, pushing people. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'd rather have a good time, watch a movie, you know, talk about Godzilla, you know, stuff like that. You know? But another thing bothers me when I bump into other tough guys and when they see me, they're like, oh, I thought you were bigger. I'm like, what the fuck, yo? It's like little sideways comments, you know? So it's like,
all right, last question.
Yes.
What is perfectly understood about you? What do people know about you that you're like, yeah, that's totally right. That's exactly about it.
I got a great heart.
I would say that, and then you always have your friends back, no matter what.
Even listen, I belong to something that. I got my friends, regular friends. I got people I grew up with, family. Then I got my DMS brothers. Then I got people I meet all over the world and because of music and everything. And all I have to say is that when I meet someone and we talk and we talk about life and everything, there's very few people that I connect with. I mean, and when I connect with someone, it's I'll do anything for my friend. Even I'll tell you, if Jay had a problem, and I was like, Jay, and I was like, listen, I'm gonna talk to this guy for you, Jay, but you know you're wrong for doing that. You know what I mean? But I got your back. But after I kick this guy in the fucking teeth, I'm gonna tell you, say I'm sorry to him and try and make it up. All right? That's it. You know what I mean?
Thank you for answering all my questions.
You're welcome.
Yo, really quick, before we let you go, Ram, where can everybody find you online? Give us a plug on your socials, plug the Cadence stuff, and plug the Change socials too. Just got one of everybody who's here. Because again, I think this was very cool for our fans to just hear a different side of the show and different, you know, we try to involve different guests from, you know, just again, like Ezek always says, we know so many people. The hardcore scene is so such a colorful place. So I love the contrast here. So yeah, please plug where all your shit is so people who aren't familiar with you or your bands can find you and interact with you.
Yeah, so you can check out my company at cadenceleadership.ca. My Instagram is aramxarslanian, and the Change's Instagram is Change Hardcore, and I think that's it beyond whatever else you find music.
Awesome, man. And I will have links and everything here for that stuff. So, Aram, again, thank you so much for joining us. This was great.
Aram, it's been great. Aram, listen, seriously, like us talking the first time.
Well, listen, you guys will have
fucking
to.
It's amazing.
Aram,
it's amazing.
You will have to get Danny on your show, on your podcast.
Next time you guys record, I want a song.
Oh, he wants to get a fucking sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Get him a guest spot in the change LP.
We'll do that.
I'm on that, brother.
But Aram, right, you should get him on your show. It would be very interesting because Aram's podcast is great.
I'm down. I'm
so
down.
You guys should have a crossover episode at some point.
I'm right, down.
So much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
thank
it.
You, thank brother. You so much, Aram, man. Shout out, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Peace out, my brother.
Peace, I would like to welcome to the show the one and only Vampiro.
Yes.
Vampiro, thank you for joining us on the Corona Chronicles,
smoke
man. How are
smoke
you?
Smoke if you have it.
Bro, this is trouble. Thank you guys for having me. It's dude, only it's been not, a year on the way. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Vampiro, for those who aren't familiar with you, tell
the listeners. They fuck themselves.
That's how. Tell the listeners a little, just a very quick before we get into your story, man, because I want to talk first about the new movie. But tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
And your origin. Tell about the origins. When, like, you're from Canada, right?
Yeah.
Ontario, Canada. Yeah.
Ontario. Lived in Montreal.
Montreal.
Used to go down to New York all the time for the shows, right? So
yes.
Because the scene in Canada at the time was in Toronto, but I lived in Montreal because that's where the wrestling company was. But I was like 15, man. Yeah. So we used to play hardcore shows and punk shows, and then we'd go down to New York, and it was the same with the wrestling. So from there, I went to Los Angeles, and I started, you know, bodyguarding and playing in bands in L.A.
Yeah.
And fuck, I don't know, man. So I just got the call, you know, can't go to Mexico and to train to be a pro wrestler. But when I got there, it was right when Guns N' Roses had broken.
Oh, that's yeah. sick.
And at that time in Mexico, the government didn't allow live bands. So everything was like super punk rock, like underground, violent yeah. punk rock.
Yeah.
Or local Mexican rock and roll. They didn't even have Marshall amps, things like that. You couldn't get it because the government cut that shit. When I got there, that same month, the government opened up the markets. Metallica came, YouTube yeah. came. So it was like fucking bang. And the Vampiro character looked like, you know, long blue hair and the tattoos. Yeah. He looked like one of them fucking L.A. rocker guys. And I was in the right place at the right time, brother. And I got to New Mexico when I was 18, and I left when I was 51. So,
oh my God,
you have had a man. Your journey is fucking it's super impressive, man. And I want to talk about that a little bit first. Let's talk about the movie that you just released. It just came out on digital.
I'm on a fucking journey right now.
Yeah. it just came out on digital. So both of those are out now. Grab yeah. that shit. It's called Nail in the Coffin, The Fall and Rise of Vampiro. But tell us a little bit about that, because the trailer, you'll see the overlay while we're talking about it, but the movie is sick. Vampiro, tell us a little bit about this coming together and the journey of putting this movie.
Wait, man. That's fucking Danny D, man. That's fucking sex and violence right there. I gotta talk to you about that, man. We got other shit to talk about. But yeah, okay.
We'll get into you. We usually ease with the easier stuff, and then the conversation will roll into yeah. deeper.
All right. Well, I've been very lucky, right? And I've done a lot of crazy things. Well, not, you know. We've all chosen different paths in lives, and every single thing. That's the greatest thing about being a punk rocker. You know what I mean? Every single thing that, I first saw The Clash when I was like 11.
That's crazy. Oh shit! Man.
The tail end of the 70s, right? Like I got into punk rock right at the end of the first wave, and so since then, you know, I was a really big New York Dolls guy, really big Johnny Thunders guy, that whole fucking thing. So I kind of. You know, the Ramones, all that. Yeah. And so that was like, it was just kind of like a Ramones thing, you know, just go and just fucking go.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah. So I got really lucky, you know, but then I started become famous.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that because, you know, I was a street kid.
Yeah.
And then they started treating me like a fucking teen idol. And I was like, I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
The first couple of months, it's a lot of fun, right? You're 19 years old and you got all these Latino women all over you. What are you supposed to do? But then after a while, it's like, it's just like, get this fucking shit away from me, right?
Yeah.
So you start doing more extreme things. And then my past was catching up to me too, you know? Like, it was really hard. Did some things in Canada, you know? when you work, when you, you know, when you got to survive, you survive. This is what it is, right? So fuck it. So I was in Mexico and I was like 19, 20 and all this shit was happening. So I started to do more extreme things in my life.
Yeah.
To justify all these magazine covers and girls and shit. I just couldn't deal with it. So I started taking a lot of pain pills because I was getting hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was wrestling 6-7 times a day.
Wow.
Damn, that's
crazy, dude.
Like, Vampiro was a rock star down there. I don't fucking understand why, but it is what it is.
Connected.
So the movie is basically a recap because when it got to its point, like, you know, 30, 40,000 people a show, 4 or 5 shows a day, you lose your fucking mind, right? So I got married and I had a baby girl. But right before I got married, I had a bad, bad OD. My heart stopped, everything. You know, I had to do the adrenaline. Damn. But I saw an angel. And I had the vision. It came, and the angel said, "You're going to get a gift from God because you hit rock bottom, and he wants to see if you're man enough to handle that shit." Yeah. So I met my wife, and I was like, "Well, this has got to be the gift. So I guess I better change my ways." But it wasn't, because she left, man. But I had a baby. But I had a baby girl, dude.
And oh man,
that fucking baby girl, that's my treasure. That from that day, no more fucking around, straightened out, been sober.
How long?
Well, I don't, this doesn't count, right?
No.
Okay. since my daughter's birth, brother, 20 years.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Congrats, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. But you know, Danny, this is not where I'm a fucking huge fan of yours, because you know exactly what I'm talking about, man. Yeah. She got taken away from me.
Yeah.
And when I broke, I broke my neck and I had these concussions, and I was kind of like a vegetable for a year.
Damn.
But I didn't want to leave Mexico because I didn't want to abandon my daughter, even though my wife left and she got remarried and all that. Yeah. I can only see my kid whenever the fuck they wanted to let me.
Yeah, yeah, that's horrible. Sorry about that, bro. You're horrible. Bro.
But I wouldn't abandon my daughter. So even though I was super vampiro famous, I had to go back to my old life a little bit because I had no income. I was a fucking vegetable. So all of that added up to my daughter going through a bullying thing in school. She left her mother's house and she moved in with me.
Oh, shit.
So, she was like 13 and she was like, "Dad, I'm going to either kill myself or you got to come and get me. What are you supposed to do?"
Yeah.
I went and got her, moved back to Canada, and then when that happened, I got diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I either had to find a way to get healthy or I was going to die.
Yeah.
So I got up to 360 pounds because of all the drugs, right? The medicine, the brain, the water weight. You know.
Yeah.
So then I talked to John Joseph.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yo, go fucking vegan." And this was like 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I went fucking vegan, and I changed all the opiates out for this, and beat Alzheimer's. I'm beating the Parkinson's. I lost 130 pounds. I got my career back, doing movies, doing TVs, recording, doing all
kinds of shit. That's amazing,
dude.
That's awesome.
Shout out to you, my brother. You overcame. You went and faced something, multiple things. In your, beyond obstacles.
Yeah, man.
Life-threatening, life-closing
dude,
things. And you just went the positive way. And the fact that punk rock, hardcore John Joseph is the one that talked about to help you out. That's fucking amazing.
Hell yeah, man.
Listen.
It's awesome.
It was fucking, you know, KG.
Yeah, Kevin Gill.
We were just talking
Kevin Gill. I brought Kevin Gill to his first hardcore show, metal show ever.
Really?
Shout out to Kevin Gill, Queens, everyone.
Shout out SFT Records.
SFT Records. So Kevin Gill is the man.
Kevin's my boy for years. And when I was going through all this shit, that's when I found out about you.
Yes.
And I've told you, motherfucker, that you were, you know, John Joseph, you know, but you were a big influence too, and I gotta tell you, man, I gotta give you love because.
Thank you, brother.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much, man. That means the fucking world to me, man.
I know about all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I know about your And I know about all that. So but you're always positive. You're always fucking busting your ass. You're always pushing. You're pushing. You're pushing. Yeah. So you were the guy that I used as that anchor to fucking get my shit together. Because
that means the world to me. It's so I'm fucking honored, bro. Because like me and you always spoke. We spoke. Yeah. And then when you wore a Crown of Thorns shirt on the Lucha Libre during the thing, and I was like, oh shit! Wait, the Crown of Thorns. Kevin Gill gave it to you. I was like, oh shit!
I told fucking Kevin, I said, listen, man, give me something. You know what I'm saying? I want to show some love. You know what I'm saying? Because all that shit that you've gone through, dog, and the way you fucking handle business and you don't quit and you stay true to the art. Yeah. Listen, man, when I had to get better, I had to do so. I couldn't go to the gym anymore because of my injuries.
Yeah.
So the doctors, believe it or not, recommended playing video games for the memory work. Yeah. And I've been hiking. I walk 15 miles every day, dog. Every fucking day.
That's amazing.
Because I'm going to Spain to do that, this Camino de Santiago. It's like a religious walk, and it's a Templar thing. So, you know,
I know you're talking about it.
So I'm going to go do that. That's 500 miles. It's 44 days.
Wow.
So I'm training for that.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, homie. But I'm going to go there, and you better give me a fucking shirt.
Yeah, we'll have DR. We'll have to have DRP send him out a bunch of shit, man.
Yeah, because the fucking guy. I'm gonna do that walk, but I want that logo. You know what I mean?
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
You know so crazy, man. When people see us talk on social media, they're like, "How the hell these guys know each other?" But I'm like, "Punk rock, bro."
Hey, what? That's what KG said. How the fuck did that happen? I said, I don't know, man. But, you know, it's the power of the universe, homie. Well,
hardcore connection is very real. Yeah. You know, the hardcore music connection in punk rock, I think, it brings a lot of like-minded souls and people together. Because you got to have something fucked up. Me and Ezak always say this. You got to be fucked up in some way if you're in this culture, listening to this music or involved in it.
You got to be fucked up if you're not. The only place that tells the truth today is right off the
air. True brother. Facts, man.
It's
facts.
Crazy shit.
Hey, man, all the mother guys need a dick.
Hey, Vampiro, can I ask you?
Wait, hold on. You were just with Billy Biohazard, right?
He just said to say hello.
Yeah,
we just had him on.
We had him on not that long ago. He was a great guest. Vampiro, I want to ask you, this is just a quick thing I saw online, and you had mentioned that were doing some bodyguarding work early. Did you really bodyguard for Milli Vanilli back in the day?
100%.
That's crazy. 100%. So listen, were you at the show when the music skipped or whatever, that show in Connecticut?
Brother, it wasn't Connecticut. It was in Detroit, the first one, and then Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
I was there from the beginning, brother. I was there from when they found those two fucking guys in the nightclub in Germany breakdancing. That's how it all happened.
That's wild. Yeah, I read that when I was just doing a little bit of background stuff on you, and I saw that story, and I was like, all right, I got to ask him about that because it's just too crazy, you know?
Yeah, well, here, I'll give you a little a New York style story about those two fucking guys. So they were brother. They were fucking. They were fucking strong, you know what I'm saying? They were strong. They had this one guy, and he'd come in with like a basketball.
Full coat. Oh,
that was the Rock, bro. And they were like, I never saw that kind of stuff before, you know, not at that level.
Wow. And,
so I had one of my homies with me, and we were watching Milli Vanilli, and they would go to these parties. And this is when the rave scene was just starting. Ecstasy was brand new. This is like the mid-80s, right? So we were in London. And we would have to go with these two fucking idiots. And they would, brother, you would never see two. They were just fucking, you know. They were going. But they had a sponsorship with Adidas. And they would send us to Germany. Because they were in England. And we would go. And we would go to Adidas. You know, because they had jackets and sneakers.
Yeah.
Brother, my friend, we took six hockey bags. We took the fucking web out. Fucking thing. And we signed it all as the soccer stars.
Yeah.
And we sold it all.
That's fucking amazing. That's amazing. That's funny.
Man, fuck them. Yeah, but hey, what are you supposed to do?
No, I guess, dude, I mean, I think to me, the most interesting parts of people's life journeys are things like that, that are so like, these like weird things, you know, these anomalies that happen that, you know, you end up in these situations and then, you know, it's just like a crazy thing, man. So reading that was just fucking wild.
Hope you know that, you know, Vampiro, you speak fluent Spanish and I bug out and I hope it's funny, but like how long did it take you to learn to speak Spanish like that?
It was strange because I didn't speak a word of it. You can't learn in school. You can't fucking speak in school. You've got to live with the people.
Yep.
You got a fucking ninja who speaks Spanish and he's a white dude.
Yeah.
Then you know he's put his time in the streets with the real people. Because you can't learn slang.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican, Spain and Mexico, there's the dialect. You can't.
Yes, it's all different. Yeah, yeah.
You got to fucking put your time in. So in Mexico, you know, wrestling, you know, those are street dudes. So you're
damn, they're crazy.
You know, and them fucking ninjas, they don't speak Spanish like a politician. You know what I'm saying? So you pick it up.
Yeah.
But and those guys told me, said, listen, do you want to learn how to fucking speak Spanish? Get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because she'll put your shit in check quick, right? So I dated, you know, girls in Mexico, but then when I went to Puerto Rico, I lived in Puerto Rico for like 6 years, going back and forth.
For real? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Isla Verde, pa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. And so I dated a girl in Puerto Rico, and her fucking Spanish was totally different because it's half American.
Yeah, it's a lot of slang.
Spanglish.
Yeah, but it's sexy. It's suave. You know what I mean? Yeah. It has a whole other vibe. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Cuban Spanish, they say some word. Like in fucking in Puerto Rico, they would say
Cuban.
He's Cuban.
Oh, so you know.
Yeah.
So they would say, go in the Wawa.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about going
the bus.
Wawa?
That's the bus.
And they were like, well, in Cuba, but in Puerto Rico, it's a car, a combi, like a van. And like, how the fuck do you call this thing a Wawa? It's because, well, when you step on the gas, it goes, wah.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You see, but in Mexico, bicho. Bicho is a
fucking bicho.
In Puerto Rico, it's a
bicho. It's different.
Yeah, it's different, yeah.
Bicho. You go to the store and you say, can I have some fucking bug spray? Can I have, you know, and they're like, and the guy says, no, you got to go say mama bicho. So you go in the store, you know, it was mama bicho.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. So you've got to put your time in, right? You got to earn your stripes, homie. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Vampiro, like, I grew up speaking Spanish and English. My house, like, you know, pretty much since I was born, and I failed school Spanish because it's, like, totally different. You know, I couldn't even, I think I got an F in it, you know, because it's so different. Like,
you made that mistake, bro.
Yeah,
You went to school. That was fucking.
Well, hey, listen, I didn't say I finished school. I just said that I went to a class there and took Spanish. I didn't go through the whole thing. Hey, so Vampiro, do you still get to check out new bands and stuff? Is there anything that you listen to, like newer punk rock bands or hardcore bands that you're following, or you just kind of listen to like the classic shit?
It's got to be careful when you answer that question, right?
Yeah.
You don't offend anybody.
You could offend anybody you want. I mean, this if it's gonna go anywhere, it's on Diablo's Den.
Yeah. Well, what I mean.
You don't want to hurt no one's feelings.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to disrespect.
Yeah,
the rebellion of music, right?
Yes.
So, I right now listening to hardcore bands my age, because the things that the guys say I can relate to. They're not fucking stupid kids fishing for words because they want to be a fashion thing, you know? And No. I can't deal with that. But no, man, I'm a, you know, Sex Pistols, Ramones. The first two Stray Cats albums.
How about the Dictators? You like the Dictators?
The fucking Dictators. You know, that era that I got, you know, the Johnny Thunders album.
Jackson Heights, he's from my neighborhood, Johnny Thunders.
You know, those 15 albums from that era, that's my Bible, dude. You know, but, I listen to the hardcore stuff, you know, like Danny stuff, like Biohazard, like you know, Agnostic Front, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, of course. But the new bands, no, they're kind of... Yeah, it ain't my thing, dude.
No, it's
what's up with your band? What's going on with your music?
Yo,
yeah, I was just gonna ask you.
Oh, yo. So the fucking virus starts, right? So before the virus starts, made the album. I'm talking that today. We were gonna come to New York.
Yeah, we played Pajama Fest. Remember?
Yeah, brother. Yeah. I set up a whole tour. I had the whole fucking tour.
I said
to the guys, hey, you know, I got to go back. The Canadian government's calling me, but don't worry. So I, you know, I'm calling, I'm texting. Nobody's answering me. I'm going on Facebook, and I see record release party. Okay. So, all right. So I click. Brother, they re-recorded the album. They took me off it. They stole my webpage, and they stole the name of the band, and they cut me out of everything. Yeah, straight up. Straight up, brother.
Oh, man, fuck them. But
you know what? It's all good, because God bless them. I wish them success. And things happen for a reason, and I'm in a much better place. I'm going to do some vocals with Count Time next week. Me and Billy are going to do some stuff. They fucking love you, dog.
My brother Junior. Shout out to Junior. Yeah. Count Time.
Yeah, he's doing well. You know, he's training every day. He's eating better.
Good.
You know.
Good.
You know
what I'm saying? Thank God. Thank God. You know what?
I'm happy
when I see like people I know, friends, and they're doing positive things. It's all love, and I'm happy for them, though. No?
Yeah, so he, you know, I've been hanging out with those guys. So, you know, fucking life is good, man. You know, 20 years ago, I would have really broke my heart what happened with the band.
Right.
I got those fucking guys a national tour. Yeah. And then we were going to go to Mexico for 6 months. It was set, dog.
Fuck, man.
But if somebody has to do that to you, they got a lot of issues.
Yeah, they got their own shit to sort out.
But you know what? Another thing is people... When they step into something, and you do all this work to get all that done, and all of a sudden they do that, they don't know what they missed. Things happen for a reason.
And I'll say this too: it's better it happened in the beginning than you invested even more time down the line, or some shit happened. You know what? It's like fuck them, because you know what, dude? Whatever you need, we'll help you. We got your back. Yeah. So fuck those guys. I can help you.
He has a record label. Don't worry. It's
so
all good.
You're fine. We'll get him the best backing band there is. Fuck those other guys.
I got so much shit going on here in LA. I think I'm close to getting a deal with iHeartRadio for a podcast.
Sick.
A punk rock thing. And just I got the TV show in LA. Movie came out. I got other things going on with movies. Doing stuff with music. Brother, I'm in a fucking great place,
I got to connect him, too, with my boy who does WrestleBotch on Instagram, Ryan. He runs that account, and he does those interviews and shit. That would be a good thing, man. I got to connect with you guys. He's cool.
Dope.
Can
I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who was your favorite wrestler?
My mom. She used to kick my ass.
That's the best answer.
So how was the wrestling with Doyle and those guys, the Mistress guys?
It was a fucking great. I was a fan.
Like Vampiro, what was it like to be at WCW, especially at that era? Was so hot, man. Like, what was that like for you, man? I mean, it must have been just a trip, right?
It was actually pretty depressing there.
Really?
It was very depressing, man.
Who do you have beef with? Real beefs? Like behind stage?
I'll tell you about that in about 2 seconds. but with the Misfits, man, it was, you know, Jerry Olney's Jerry Olney.
He's a good guy. They're both good
Jerry's
guys.
Awesome. Yeah, I got to meet him. He's great.
Yeah. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, Jerry's Misfit Jerry. You don't give a fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, brother, you gotta, you know, you can tone it down every now and then, right? Nope, you can't do it. But he'd be out in the lobby of the hotel, and he would talk to the fans till like 4 a.m.
Yeah,
like he wouldn't stop. And I was like, bro, fucking chill on that shit, man. You know. it was Doyle, Michael Graves, and myself. We would just sit in the room and play PlayStation, and we would just like get fucking Jerry away from us. You know?
Shout out to Jerry Olney.
Yeah. Well, no, Jerry's dope, man. He took care of me. You know, we rode together. We got along real good. But Doyle was great.
Both of those guys are cool. It's crazy, the brothers, right? How crazy, like, they are. They're totally different. They're like, you mean? So.
Yeah. And Doyle's doing well, man. But, you know, Jerry, well, you know, hey, fuck it. That's what it is, right? But WCW was bad, man, with the drug use. Like, all those guys. Yeah, like, you know, everybody partied. Those guys partied hard. But there was about 30 or 40 guys that were, like, major opiate addicts. Oh, like, yeah,
painkillers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Painkillers, Oxycontins, all that bullshit.
Yeah, Xanax. You know? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, they would fucking, you know, they would go to the moon. They would fucking gink up. And then
to come down,
they take them fucking Xanax. But they would, like, take 30 or 40.
That's how you die. That's fucked up.
You know? You can't fuck with that shit. And it was depressing for me because I didn't want to be around that. So, but, you know, and because of so much drug use and steroids and shit, there was beef. Well, guys would throw down and, you know, none of them could fight, but they would get into it. but there were some bad dudes who would fuck you up. But those guys, nobody even, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you in the fucking, when you're doing a thing, you know, you stay away. They say that fucking guy in the corner, that's his corner. Right, you know, it is what it is.
That's crazy stuff. Any time, like, was there any people you saw, like, in the back, and people really went, like, crazy, like, who was the toughest wrestler you know? Like, that you know that you personally was the hardest guy that you saw and you met, and he was, like, no one.
Oh, everybody knows. It's King Haku, Tonga, King Tonga.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's the all time. There's not even a second. He's the one.
He could fuck anyone up. And be like, what?
and he did. And he did. Somebody fucked with him in a bar. Anybody you want to fuck with, you pick him.
Yeah.
Brother, he pulled the guy's eye out when he was talking to him. He just fucked him. And everybody was like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah, he was like that. He was that guy. They used to bring him in to different territories if somebody needed discipline.
That's hard.
Oh, that's foul.
That's hard.
So, you know, if he was coming in, you knew something bad was going to happen. That was his job.
He's just a crazy Samoan, like crazy.
Is a teddy bear, man. is a teddy bear, but he's a fucking T-Rex. Yeah. He's a T-Rex, brother. He will fucking, he's a Samoan and he's fucking crazy, bro. Tonga, he's from Tonga, you know. You know, he used to break the coconut trees and shit. It's a true story, brother. They had to send him to fucking sumo school. Yeah. To calm him down because he was beating, he was fucking killing guys on the island. He would punch them and break their fucking heads. He's a strong fucking guy.
Strong, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, and he would. They brought him to Mexico to be my bodyguard because the guys were beating me up. And one time, one guy was behind me and he was holding me.
Yeah.
And there was another guy in front of me hitting me. So there was three of them. He hit the guy from behind, and the three of us fucking went out of the ring under the floor. He fucking knocked us. Yeah, he was like that strong, brother.
You know? Yo, Vampiro. What match sticks out? And I know you've had such a huge storied career, but is there a match that sticks out to you as what you feel is your most memorable performance?
Not really, man. You know, it was never that I liked my work, but there was moments like going out with the Misfits, for example.
Yep.
That was what the fuck.
Right.
going to Japan with Rancid.
Oh, that must have been sick.
Yeah.
But I got to go because I was Vampiro. You know? So that was that was fucking crazy. And I just was on the side of the stage every night, you know, kind of babysitting Kim and Lars. And because Skinhead Rob didn't go to that tour, so I took his place. And you know, you got Big J on one side, and I was on the other. And it was, the Stray Cats was GBH and Ryan's. I was like, what am I doing here? You know, shit like that. But a match, the best, the biggest moment for me was when I wrestled Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Whoa! How was he to you personally, like before the fight when he spoke to him? Was he nice to you?
To me, he was super cool. He used to let me come in his, you know, share his dressing room, and
yeah,
he would give me advice. Man, that's fucking Hulk Hogan, dog.
I know.
He's a big dude, right?
Yeah, he's a big motherfucker. When you shake his hand, it's like putting on a baseball glove. He's a big guy.
You know, that's
the Hulk, man. And yeah. I was like, and that night, I beat him.
Oh,
yeah. Whoa, yeah.
And I was like, man. I was like, sir, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. And he was like, it's business, kid. And I was like, yeah, but it's not for me. You're my girl. You know,
That's cool. That's so cool, man.
But he was like, if you don't go, I'm going to knock the fuck out of you. So and it was a beautiful, it helped me later on in my life, in my career, right? When I was helping younger guys, because they look at me like that now.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking amazing, bro.
But that's the Hulkster, man. So that one was good. And wrestling Ric Flair was also another big one.
Oh, yeah, I love Flair. Is fucking badass, dude.
Yeah. So those were the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, dude, even just to get to say, like, those two names together that you were in the fucking ring
is amazing.
I mean, think about it. That's like the fucking, you know, that's the Mount Rushmore of wrestling would have those two faces.
Not one of those fucking guys can say what I can say, man. I'm on fucking this podcast. Those fuckers.
And we love, dude, and we appreciate you, doing that for us, man. Again, I was really excited. I got to plug I got to shout out all my wrestling friends, Brock,
Yvonne,
Ryan from WrestleBotch, who were so excited when I told them. I was like, yo, we got Vampy. And they were like, holy shit. They were psyched. So I got to mention their names while I talk to you.
Yeah, hell yeah, of course, brother.
They love all that shit.
I mean, I go to, you know, I started doing volunteer work with the Guardian Angels about 25 years ago, helping kids in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so I go to New York City all the time. It's either for wrestling or a punk show or to see Curtis or whoever it is, you know. But I got to come and see you, man.
Definitely.
But where are you living now, though?
I'm in Jersey City now.
Yeah, how do you like that?
It's 12 minutes from Manhattan.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, you know. You know what? I'm happy. Well, because I'm out here, and if I'm in my neighborhood and it's in Queens, I'll be caught up in the same shit. You know, going back 20 years, I'm happy right now. Me and my lady out here, so it's good.
Yo, yeah. It's you got a good relationship going on. You know, that's good. She supports you.
That's the first time in my life. She supports everything I do, and she's there by my side. She takes care of all my. Like, she's my assistant. She does everything for me, you know? So, amazing.
Storm has been so instrumental with helping out the show and just helping me get some stuff done with Danny and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
She's at her sister's house right now. Her sister has lupus, so she's helping her sister right now.
Yo, that was a real picture that you put up of her and her sister?
That's her and her sister.
Brother. Fucking cuñado, we have to talk.
Yo, the sister looks like Lisa Bonet. I say it all the time. Isaac laughs because
you guys, she'd be happy.
That's fucked up, brother. You gotta fucking hook your homie up, brother. That's bullshit.
She'll smile when she sees us.
Nah, brother, they're very pretty girls, man.
She's only 22. My girl's 27, so they're 5 years apart. Right? What like other wrestlers? Like how about like me growing up? I grew up on Roddy Piper, Bob Backlund, the Ivan Putski, stuff like that, and they're all fucking great fucking wrestlers. I always bugged out. Yeah. You know what I mean? On watching those guys. You know what I mean? Like who was your favorite growing up? Seriously, but that you like saw and was like, oh, I'm gonna try to be like that. Like help me. You mean
the guy? There was one guy in Japan, the Great Muda.
Muda, all right.
And the Road Warriors.
Oh, I love the Road Warriors. I got to see what's that show on Vice that's out that they did? They did an episode on the Road Warriors. It's fucking
Road
great.
Warriors, I used to love Ultimate Warrior too when I was young.
Oh, Ultimate Warrior is sick. Yeah.
Roddy Piper was
hold on, hold on. Look, look.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, he takes in L.A. I did a DMS, the DMS party for the Fahrenheit 451 book, a DMS issue, and Roddy Piper came.
That's sick.
Damn.
He, Roddy, I met Roddy Piper, bro. His kids a fighter.
Roddy used to in WCW. Roddy, he used to babysit me. I used to travel with him, and he used to teach me shit behind the scenes. And
yeah,
he was so fucking cool to me. He was probably the coolest guy I met in the business.
See, yeah. I'm sorry, but when I went up to him, when I spoke to him, he was really nice to me. You know, him and I talked to him one time. I was on a plane with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And
that's awesome.
And we were talking like normal. It was nice.
Yeah. You know? He's cool. He's the real deal. He's down to earth, brother.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. He's one of us. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. That's cool. See, that's real cool, man.
That's awesome, man.
Look, no, fuck wrestling. Tell me about this fucking sex and violence and the exploited and all that stuff. Yeah. Where did that come from, brother? That was the greatest thing I've ever fucking heard.
All right. So the whole thing with that was sex and violence. I was doing a record with Tim Armstrong. He did my whole record of the International Hardcore Superstar, that whole record. And I was talking to him. I said, yo, I love that song, Sex and Violence. Why don't we do it? So I was like, he's like, all right. I was like, yo, I love to exploit it, right? So homeboy Lars called homeboy up. He said, you can use it. But it was so funny, like him talking to Wiley for exploit it.
And right.
When I see Wiley, he's like, what's up? And we should party, go crazy. And basically, we're on the phone, and it was like Wiley speaking on the phone to me and Lars, all three of us. And you couldn't understand me or couldn't understand what the fuck Wiley was saying. But somehow we got it. It was like, you know how he is. And I was like, yeah. And all of a sudden, he let us use it. Lars hooked that up, and I said, thank you, Wiley. And we did it. And then I said, you know what? I'm gonna get Everlast on it, and they got Tim Armstrong on it. So two guys that are friends of mine, two guys who are both amazing lyricists and musicians and Grammy award-winning artists. You know what I mean?
That's sick.
And I was like, how am I even on this record? But I wrote my shit right there, and then Tim Armstrong did all the music. He did everything. You know what I mean? He's a musical genius.
He was into that style of mixing beats with punk.
Yes.
In like the early to late 90s. He was before.
He was way ahead of the curve.
And
there was always, you know, you can tell. I love Lars. I love the whole band, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can tell when Lars writes a song.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be on a Viking ship and you're going to go fuck.
The harmonies, you hear the gang vocals. Yeah, that's Lars. Yeah.
But when you hear Tim, he's got everything in there.
You know what's crazy about Tim? It's like when you meet Tim, he looks like he can't walk and chew bubblegum. He's like all fucking punk rock guy, but he'll be playing music and he'll be singing over here like this, the microphone here, but it's all one point. Like he looks crazy, but he's a fucking musical genius. Musical genius and a great guy with great heart.
Yeah, we bonded in Japan. I used to take him to the gym every day, and yeah, you know, it was good times, brother. It was good times. It's good times, man.
Listen, Vampiro, I'm so happy that you did this. Thank you so much being on here.
Vampiro, before we let you go, man, tell all the listeners where we can find you online.
Yes.
Plug the movie one more time. Where can everybody order Nail in the Coffin? We'll be showing the trailer as you're watching this.
If you're
watching the YouTube. Yes. But Vampiro, tell everybody where can they grab the movie. I know it's on video on demand. There's a Blu-ray, but give everybody the info, please.
I don't really know. It's on every platform except Netflix. That I know. It's it gets on everywhere.
Website, right?
Yeah, the DVD. No, it's right through Epic.
Okay.
Epic Films.
Oh, yeah, right. Cool. Epic.
Yeah,
Films.
Yeah. So it's out. It came out today. It's out.
Sick.
But it's on every platform. I'm fucking geeked about it. You know, I'm blessed.
I can't wait to watch it, man. The trailer was really sick, man. really interesting story about you and your daughter. Again, I mean, I know we touched about it in the beginning, but it's really looks really well done, man. I'm excited to see it, Vampire. I'm proud of you, dude, as a fan who watched you in the ring, dude. It's cool to hear that you are doing better. I'm excited to see all the shit you have coming out, dude. If you need a hand with anything that me or Danny can help you with, dude, we have your back. I appreciate you.
We got you, brother.
Say the same. We're brothers now. We've always been, but you know, the same. If I can help you in any way, I'm out here in LA, but I come over there all the time.
I'll be out there soon. We're gonna chill, me and you, bro. I love you, brother.
When you're back out here,
I love you too, man.
And Shits Mello, we'll have you in the studio. Danny and I usually do these in the studio.
In the city,
In the city, man.
Yeah.
So once shit gets back to normal, man, we'll have to have you out and you know.
When I come, we'll go for a meal. We'll have some good food. We'll hang out, you know.
Debbie, my brother.
All right, awesome, man.
You know what I'm saying?
thank you, brother.
That's a wrap for Corona Chronicles, episode number 11. I want to give a big shout-out one more time to Vampiro for joining us.
Yeah.
Shout-out to Rob for joining us. And everybody, do please continue to sign up for the email list, the YouTube. The shit is popping. Me and Isaac appreciate all the support so far, man. We don't have any sponsors, man. We do this shit for free so that you guys don't have to listen. No commercials, no bullshit, none of that shit. So thank you so much. Thank you to all both of you guys. A lot of love. Make sure you guys get your cameos from Isaac too, right?
Vampiro, I love you, brother.
Vampiro, thank you so much.
Homie.
All right, peace, guys.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street Podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.